You can come up and sow. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? I guess not. Amen. Open your Bibles really quickly. Okay. Sister Gloria, I'm sure we'll be back. I want to cover a couple things. These are some different days, aren't they? When you really think about it, there are some different days. Days that the Bible has prophesied for a long, long, long time. These things, these days have been written. And we're so quick to look at things that don't concern us too much. You know, the church, the body of Christ, is so quick to look at the things that are beyond, you know, our control, unstoppable, amen, even the plan of God. But we're so quick to look at these things as if we can do something about it. Now, we can pray and hold faith, but we can, in these last days, everybody say last days, do something about us. We can't do anything with people that don't want to be with God or don't know God, but we can do something about us in the last days. And truly, I believe that these are the last days, and we don't want to be deceived in these days by any means. So open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of them of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontented, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors. Everybody say traitors. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, aren't these signs of the last days? Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That means that you're obedient to pleasures more so than you're obedient to the will of God for your life. That means that people are going to be so strong in what they want to do and how they want to live, that will outweigh every decision in their life. People don't want to live for God anymore. They want to live for themselves. Having a form of godliness. This is so, everybody say a form of godliness. Something that looks godly, but is totally powerless. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Say it looks like God, but denies the power thereof. Now it says, now it looks like God and all this other stuff. Now how many know that God has all the power? All power and all authority belongs to God. And how many know God can fix this situation? How many believe that? That all, many of the things that we pray about, God has the ability to fix it and make things better. How many know if we'd all get obedient to God, we could make the world a better place overnight? How many believe that? Well, it says, listen, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There are so many people that want to get into God, want to get into religion, want to get into so-called Christianity, but they don't want to come in contact with the power of Christianity. And what would I call the power of Christianity, the power of God, denying the power of God? Well, we Pentecostals used to say, oh, it was the Holy Ghost, what made goosebumps get on our back. Or it was what made me fall on the floor. It's my tongues. It's my charismatic experience. Well, I tell you what, kids scream and holler, don't they? It doesn't take a lot of power to scream and holler and make a bunch of noise. It doesn't take a lot of power to do that, right? Actually, you can get weak-minded people to snap off. That's not power. What does he mean when he says that we have a form, that in the last days there'll be people that will have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power of God, or denying the power thereof? Well, I believe there are people that want to take God's name in vain, but are totally powerless. You know, they deny that power to change their mindset. They deny the power of God to change the way they think, what they act, and what they do. It looks like God, but it doesn't have it. And, you know, it wouldn't be Jesus. I tell you what, wherever Jesus went, he taught, he preached, and he changed things. Wherever the gospel of Jesus Christ was ever preached effectively, the place changed. And they would tell those apostles, and they would tell those disciples, listen, they're turning the whole city upside down. They've got everybody all stirred up because of their teaching. Now, I tell you what, we can get in some places and we can teach, and everybody, you know, nobody gets stirred up. We just stir up people's anger. We just stir up our pride in different things. But the city, or what is really wrong over a geographic area, is never really affected, never really stirred up, never really changed. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What is the power thereof? Jesus came with authority, didn't he? He came in the name of the Lord. He said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They sang that to him one day, didn't they? He came in the name of the Lord. But he also said, when he first started out, I've come to do this, I've come to do that. He had power. That means he had authority to change things. Now, when we speak of power, that means authority. Well, now, we today, we have authority to change things that are wrong right away. But I tell you what, nobody wants to walk in that authority. Most people don't want to deal with anything poor. They want to make sure that they stay rich. That's what's most important. Nobody wants to pay the price for anything anymore. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I tell you what, anybody that talks a bunch of God stuff and all this other stuff, and, you know, just big religion everywhere, you just see thousands and thousands of people to come in together to claim Christianity and to do all this other stuff, but yet the simplest ills in the very cities where they have these huge crusades, it's never changed. You know, we'd rather have a revival inside a church building and claim this happened, that happened, this happened, but we can't buy a can of string beans, amen, and take it 3 miles down the street. I'm not on your back tonight. I hope I'm not beating anybody out. I'm just trying to get into the scripture a little bit, a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. These are the last days. These are the last days, and we don't want to be deceived. See, of course we know what the devil looks like, how the devil acts, but I don't want to be deceived. I want to be with Jesus. And I don't want to get up in any big mess. Been into it for, you know, people wasting my time, things wasting my time, wasting my life. Giving me a bunch of religion, giving me rules and regulations, but no power to do what Jesus really wants to do. Amen? Or what Jesus would really do. In the last days, we'll see this. And I believe this one thing that we're going to catch real quick is the spirit of the last days. And in the last days, it's basically talking about this. Traitors. Everybody say traitors. Traitors. I mean, we have Christian people that will trade out or trade out what Jesus would really do or what Jesus would really teach and what Jesus would really be. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. So say a form of godliness. What does that mean? A form of godliness. A form of godliness. Somebody say a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Now that's a real scary scripture. Now we've always been taught, and I believe it's absolutely right, that you know that you have to separate yourself in order to be blessed the way God wants you to be blessed. How many of you find the Lord shifting you, sifting you, and shifting you and moving you on? And you got a deeper desire in your heart to be more like Jesus. Amen. And it's hard to find a good example today. Amen. You got to read the Bible without the blinders on your eyes to really try to find out who Jesus is and what he would really be about. From such, turn away. Some say, from such, turn away. Those that have a form, even though, see, we're so quick to get these things that we do consider to be not right. Now, isn't it amazing how Jesus went to eat with the tax collectors? He was doing stuff with people that everybody else was casting out and saying, they weren't worth a dime. They weren't worth anything. Amen. They weren't worth anything but a stone to be stoned. How could he eat with those people? How could he hang with those people? How could he talk with those people? Look at him. What is this man doing? And yet some of the other ones he turned out. Maybe people were offended because Jesus didn't play their game. He wouldn't play their game. Today, I wonder, what would Jesus do? Everybody wants to wear that bracelet. What would Jesus do? I wonder how many tables he'd turn over if he came back. Somebody say, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? We've relied on him so much, misrepresented him so much. Jesus was bold, wasn't he? He stood out. He didn't just go with what was going on. He was not just influenced or affected by the things that was going around him. He was affected. Amen. He was effective. He had the Spirit of God and the Word of God on the inside of him, and he wasn't about to be changed by the world. He was out to change the world. And the religious people got so upset with him because he didn't come to play their little game. He didn't come to blow their little horns and to go through all that other stuff. He just went by all that other stuff because they were missing it. You know why? Because it had a form. Even though this is later, it had a form. It looked right. All the little regulations, all the rules were there. They had a lot of the written word, amen, but none of the written word was really on their heart. Something was missing. So he had to go find it. From such, somebody say, from such. Say, from such. Say, from such. Say, everybody say, from such.
From such.
Don't be afraid to turn away. That's a real scary thing, isn't it? Somebody say, I'm looking for Jesus. Find somebody, say, I'm looking for Jesus. Not a form of him. I'm looking for him. I want to find the power of Jesus. I want to find somebody that has the power of Jesus, the authority of Jesus. And where would his power? He's going to be putting his power out where it belongs. Who's out there changing the way people think? Who's out there telling us to love one another, to get along? Who's out there redeeming mankind and bringing the sinner to God? Amen. Jesus was awfully busy. Amen. About sending people to heaven, wasn't he? When he came with this real, his objective was to get as many people into heaven as he could get there. He wasn't looking trying to pull people out of heaven and send them to hell. He came that men might be saved. That was his quest, and that was his desire, and that was his heart. And I believe today we should be like Jesus. Oh, I would love to say it. I'm going to say it. I was out there looking. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. I don't buy it. I'm trying to figure out a lot of things that are going on in my life. I just don't buy it. I love Jesus. I buy Christianity. I'm not saying I'm coming against Christianity by any means. But this big thing that we got, I don't buy it. Amen. It would have more power. It would have a lot more power, and I'm not just talking about political power, because Jesus didn't come in political power. Some people got upset because they wanted him to. You know, that was the zealots and all these other guys wanted to do that. Amen. Jesus wasn't into that. He said, look, I'm not going to play that game either. He says, I have authority. I don't need to go ask this one. I don't need to play this game or that game. Amen. I just need to come at who I am and make a difference. I don't buy it. Because the Bible says, you know, when you got one or two are gathered, this will happen. Then it also says one will put 1,000 to flight. Two will put how many to flight? Amen. And what would three do? Amen. Come on now. Then when we can see so many people coming together, churches are bigger today than they have ever been in the history of Christianity. Do you know that? I mean, they had to write about the multitudes that were coming to Jesus. Amen. They were huge. So say, when Christians come together, real Christians come together, things happen. When that little church came together over there in Jerusalem, it shook that whole place, didn't it? It shook the place. When they came together to pray, they had Pentecost. And look how fast it spread. Now, if he can start like that, do you think he's going to finish like this? Honestly. If he can start like that, do you think he's going to finish like this? Because the Bible says that the latter glory... So say the latter glory. Say it again. The latter glory will be greater than the former glory. Look at somebody and say, where is the glory? In the last days. Somebody say the last days. See, a lot of people are looking at the last days and saying they're looking at all the things the devil's going to do in the last days. Well, look at this that's happening. Looking at that that's happening. In the last days, perilous times shall come. I'm not so concerned about that other stuff. But it says, look, over here, there will be a group of people that will come together that will have a form of godliness. Amen. That will deny the power thereof. That means they got all the Jesus, but the power that would cause them to hate their brother. They deny that part. See, we like to pick up the parts of Christianity that we like, or that agree with our culture, or agree with what we're, you know, come on now. But anything else, we're just going to deny and forget about it. Amen? From such, turn away. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Every once in a while, you got to make up in your mind, I'm going to go for Jesus. And I don't believe you'll be alone. You'll get so, times will come where you'll get upset. You'll come into fear. That happened a lot of times biblically. One prophet got up there and stood up against this Jezebel spirit. Amen. This Jezebel. Amen. And he had done all this other stuff to where he was running from this woman and afraid. And he told God, I might as well die because I'm the only one you got out here and I'm the only one you got left. And God had to tell the man, listen, let me tell you what. You're not the only, there are a whole bunch of people that have not bowed, amen, their knee. You're not the only one out there. Somebody, amen, God's got another one out there that just don't fit in, that just won't buy it. We try hard to buy it, don't we? I mean, we try hard to buy it. We go out of our way to buy it. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead silly women captive, laden with sins and led away with diverse lusts, learning and all this other stuff, never learning. Now these are people, some say, these are men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Some say corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and in Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, somebody say, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yet all that will live godly, somebody say, live godly, in Christ shall suffer persecution. Don't you know that the real thing, the fake, will always persecute the real? The fake will always persecute the real. It's sad that a lot of times it seems like the fake shows up first. Now notice those two sons, where God said, listen, one of them will not, the bondwoman's child, will not be heir, amen, with the child that I have chosen. For if they are together, he will persecute the real. So you've got to drive out the fake. Some say, drive it out. The fake will always persecute the real. I want you to get that revelation. You got to learn where your battle's going to be. You got to learn. We're no different. We're not. When Jesus came, he came here. You know where his battle was, where his opposition was, what once was? Those old scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees, religious leaders and rulers and all this other mess, they were the ones that were persecuted Jesus and his ministry. Why? They didn't want to give up authority. They didn't want to give up control, and they didn't want to submit to what was going on. They didn't want to deal with the new thing that Jesus was doing. So they thought they'd kill it. But it's not going to work. It just so happens that it's common. Notice that the parable where Jesus told the parable about, there was a guy that owned a vineyard or whatever else it was, or a piece of property there, and he left. But before he left it in the care of stewards. He said, I want you to work this, and you know, but I want to get something out of it. I want you to do some things for me on my ground, but I want you to do something with it. And notice that those that were left in somewhat authority, what did they keep saying to one another? Let us kill him, that we might be able to steal his inheritance or take what belongs to him. They think if they can kill it, they can keep it. That's why they want to deny the power. But they're not going to be able to kill the power. Amen. They're not going to be able to kill the power. If it's really God, it will live forever. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest. Listen, what persecution I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from of a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. He's teaching, talking to Timothy here. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction, for the instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Somebody say hallelujah. Say praise the Lord. Say it again. Hallelujah. Now he's sitting up here encouraging this young guy to continue in the work. I charge thee therefore before the God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come. Some say the time's coming. When they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust. He's talking about the people that you preach to. After their own lust, they will heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. He said, listen, do the work. There are going to be people that are going to go for what they want to hear. And when they go to keep up unto themselves people that they feel like listening to and people that they want to hear, did he say chase them down? Did he say chase them down? He said, no, at that point, listen, the day is going to come. He was telling them. He said, the day is going to come when they're going to heap to themselves people that they want to hear, what they're going to get into. Don't waste your time with them. Do the work of an evangelist. Go find somebody that will hear. Say, go find, doesn't the evangelist go find the new? Doesn't the evangelist go find the new? The day is going to come when people aren't going to endure stuff. They can't hang. When they can't hang, what do? Do the work of the evangelist. Do the work of the evangelist. They don't like what you're preaching, amen. Do the work of the evangelist. If they can't endure soundness, somebody say hallelujah. Do the work of the evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, and have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Therefore, he said, listen, there's a crown of righteousness. Somebody say crown. Say crown of righteousness. Brother Jesse was talking about that crown. Crowns. How do you receive that crown? Are you listening to me, Brother Jay? You receive that crown. Amen. But listen, that doesn't mean you're not going to go through affliction. That doesn't mean you're not going to go through some trials and some tribulations and stuff like that. Don't be surprised when people can't hang, when they can't do the work of the evangelist and make full proof of your ministry. Anybody learn anything tonight? Any man learning anything tonight? I got one more section to give to you. I hope you're catching something. It will come to pass, but it's better than what we thought it was. When we see a lot of biblical stuff happening, we get surprised. And when biblical things happen before our eyes, I believe that it's biblical. I believe that where I'm at right now, I believe it's totally the will of God. I don't believe I'm going off. I don't believe I'm going kooky or nothing like that. Amen. I believe there are more out there, and the day will come. Amen. We'll find them. Well, I don't want to march in that one anymore. Amen. I'm not separating myself or talk or teaching strife or anything like that. But I believe that God's got something better, and I'm going to go for that. Amen. I want the gold. Tired of the brass. I want the gold. It seems like the more noise they make, the less power they really have. See, the more they scream about revival, the farther we get from it. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, this is really important right here that y'all catch this, because the church took off. It really did take off, and these are the beginnings of the church when we read these kind of things. He's trying to exhort Timothy to go and do what he had to do in the Word, right? And this is Paul's ministry. Paul said, listen, I've finished my course. Isn't that great? He said, I'm ready to be offered up. Wow! Didn't Paul have a good... And what was his state when he said, look, I'm done? Now, how many knew that he had a heart that he said, I would that all men be saved? Didn't Paul say that? So don't you think before he'd want to go on to God that he'd have all his T's crossed and that everything would be put back together again? No. He had a revelation. That's not the way it's always going to be. Some people are going to turn from the truth. And he said, listen, when they turn from the truth, he wouldn't send Timothy to a place where he didn't go minister to himself. So he was literally telling this boy, listen, I'm saying to these people, I've already ministered to them, but I'm going to tell you straight up, the day is coming that not everybody that you're preaching to right now is going to be there, because they're going to get to themselves people that they want to hear. I'm just trying to tell you in advance, get used to it. But when that happens, you just go find the lost sheep, amen? Go look for the one that God has called. Keep doing the work of the events. Keep putting them all together. Keep preaching and keep teaching. Make full proof of your ministry. Amen. And do all these things. Now, there's some really a good thing here that I want to catch. He was talking about that they will get to themselves people that have the itching ears, heaping unto themselves things that make their ears itch. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. Watch and do the work of the ministry, make full proof of your ministry. I am ready to be offered up, and my time of departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished. Let me say, I've finished my course. Now check out this. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Herr Fittler's a crown of glory laid up for me. He said, I'm going on to get what I'm supposed to get. Hallelujah. But there's something really interesting here. Do thine diligence to come unto me shortly. For Demas, somebody say Demas, hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed. Some say he's gone. Say he's gone. Now, what a ministry team. That was one of his ministry team members. And he said, look, I'm done. I'm ready to get my crown of glory. What kind of crown is that? Somebody would think, well, I'm going to lose my crown because somebody else didn't run for Jesus. Amen. He said, look, I'm going to go on and get what I'm supposed to get with God. Even though Demas has departed. Somebody say hallelujah. You got to get what you're supposed to get from God. He said, only Luke is with me. I'm done. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm passing. He said, Demas is gone and only Luke is with me. Now, don't you think when this man was ready to cash in the chips and go on to be with God, that everyone he mentored, that everyone he discipled would be strong and just like him? These are traveling partners. What happened to him? Amen. He said, they all gone. The only one that's still here is Luke. He said, but I'm finished. He said, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the work of the ministry. Now, go right here to verse 16. Oh, glory. No, we can go even back to 14. Look at Paul's ministry here. Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much evil. So say Paul's ministry. The Lord reward him according to his works. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You know, you get a reward. You get a reward for every little thing you do. You get a reward. Everybody's got a little present coming. Amen. Whatever you sow, that also shall you reap. So here, this man went out there. He said, this man did me a lot of evil. Now, I tell you what, how would you like to go down the Bible for doing wrong to somebody? He said, this one did me a lot of evil. The Lord record, you know, the Lord. Now, and today we just want to forget stuff. Well, it's the same way today when you get out there to do something for God. Everybody's not going to be happy about what you do. Everybody's not going to be gung-ho. But what is that supposed to do? Is that supposed to stop you? No, you're supposed to go right on. Amen. Of whom thou beware also. For he hath greatly withstood our words. Some say, look out. So they had people withstanding their words. For my first answer, no man stood with me. Some say, nobody. Say, nobody. Nobody. Say, nobody. Nobody. Now that some of us will be ready to give up. Some of us will be ready to quit. You got to have this. You got to have that. What's wrong? What's wrong? Come on now. He said, you got to know Jesus. And you got to know what's right in your heart. He said, when we first started out, everybody think, when you first started out, you're going to have everybody patting you on your back, clapping for you. Amen. Say, I'm with you 100%. He said, no, when we first started out, he said, listen, my first answer, no man withstood me, but some. Are you seeing the same scripture? Do you see the same? Are you reading the same thing? But some forsook me. Do you see some forsook him? We'll say, but all forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord was with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. Somebody say, glory to God. How many are glad that he preached the gospel, that we got a lot of stuff that we can hear? You got a lot of stuff in you today that this man preached, that this man wrote. He had to stand on his own. He wasn't looking for nobody to pat him on the back or to push him on. No, he had to stand in his own faith, being convinced that he saw Jesus himself. Nobody told him about it. Listen, he saw the Lord himself, and he was motivated, amen, and driven by his own experience. And he didn't base his relationship on God, what anybody else said or what anybody else thought. Somebody say hallelujah. He knew the Lord. So when he first stood out, he said, listen, nobody stood with me, but the Lord was with me. Feels like that sometimes. I don't know about you, but it feels like that sometimes in my walk. If I didn't know Jesus, glory to God, I'd run like hell. Praise the Lord. If I didn't know Jesus, who still got me holding on? Who still got me preaching? Who still got me teaching? I would have ditched them folk, amen, years ago. But you know what it is, people? It's Jesus. Amen. It's Christ within us, the hope of glory. I know the Lord. Amen. I can't deny Jesus. What do I mean by I can't deny Jesus? I'm not trying to get brownie cookies from all the others. I'm not looking for every preacher in town to pat me on the back and join their club. Don't want to go. Amen. Amen. God's going to have to work Amen. Just not there anymore. Have no desire whatsoever. Not looking for a ticket, not looking for an invitation. Am I coming against my brothers in Christ? Absolutely not. Just looking for them. Hallelujah. But deep on the inside, I'm trying to let you know where I'm at. I ask myself sometimes, why in the world am I just keep doing this, keep doing it? Jesus. Amen. Nobody has to be there but the Lord. Somebody say, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Say, the Lord is my strength. Say, he is my strength. That by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all Gentiles, some say all Gentiles, that is deep. That is deep, because there were a group of people that he had to hang on for. Before he started to preach, the church looked a lot different. St. Paul. He was an apostle. Before Paul was preaching, all you saw was Jews. And all you got was a little bit of revelation that they had. You know, you couldn't get in there. Somebody say, trailblazers. See, but God had a different message. Somebody say hallelujah. God said, look, Paul, I'm going to separate you, and there's a reason why I'm going to separate you, because what I want you to receive or what I want you to go pick up, they're going to have a problem with it. So I'm going to separate you so that what you bring in might not be distracted. Oh, y'all don't like what I'm talking about tonight. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. He said, now listen. He said, don't lay it to their charge. Amen. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. He said it was worth it. And I was delivered, somebody say, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Who knows what that mouth was? Who knows what the mouth was? And the Lord, say, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. Now, what was he talking about? The man was going through. Now, we know what Paul called an evil work, don't we? In verse 14. Somebody say hallelujah. They were going through. This man's ministry was going through. He said, this one's going off, that one's going off. They've all gone, but I want you to stick to what you heard. Don't you change it. Remain with it. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Somebody say hallelujah. To whom be glory forever and ever. I hope y'all heard that tonight. Whose will do you want to fulfill with your life? Why don't you stand up? Look at somebody, say, sometimes. Say, sometimes. You got to stick to what you know. Sometimes you got to stick to what you know. Stop going for stuff that just won't satisfy. Jesus. It's Jesus. I'm a Christian because of Jesus and him alone. Amen. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He is the power of God manifest. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Amen. And we will also see this thing. Amen. It's going to be amazing when we find. But we're going to be victorious. We're going to be victorious. We're going to be victorious. And what everybody thinks, what everybody, I'm not just talking about everybody, but what the major thinking is. Amen. There were the scribes and the Pharisees before Jesus got there. Don't you think they read about the Messiah and studied it, knew everything about it? And the Messiah got there right in front of their face and they didn't even know it. They couldn't catch it. If anybody ought to know what he looked like, amen, don't you think they would have caught it? All that studying that they went through? Yeah, the astrologers found it, amen, didn't take all that. Glory to God. And I tell you what, those boys, anybody, you got to make up your mind whether you're going to follow a form of godliness. And the early church had to do that too. Amen. For the Lord. Amen. I'm sure there were a lot of people that got messed up because they were listening to those Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees. Instead of listening to their heart. That's how you know the Lord, deep on the inside of your heart, and by the scripture, and by the word, you know Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for grace, we thank you for mercy, we thank you for power, we thank you for love. We need boldness. You know, I know I'm running my mouth a lot, but somebody say boldness.
Boldness.
See, we want to be religious and phony when we talk about boldness. You know, we think that when we pray for boldness, it just gives us the ability to be loud and to go tell somebody about Jesus that's never heard before, put a bumper sticker on their car, or crack one of the corny jokes that everybody cracks. You know what I'm saying? You know, the Christian jokes now, but the come on jokes. You know, what you're supposed to tell people to break them into the gospel. Come on jokes. Pickup lines, Christian pickup lines, and all this other stuff, and we need boldness to quote a Christian pickup line. We need a boldness to give a testimony. Oh Lord, give me boldness that I might. You don't pray for boldness, amen, when there ain't no persecution. They didn't pray for boldness when there wasn't when they're, you know, without persecution. When they prayed for boldness, they were up against opposition. They said, Lord, didn't you hear these threats and all this mess? Lord, didn't you hear what these people said? They said they'd kill us if we did anything, if we said anything else. That's when they prayed for boldness, that they would stand up in the midst of all of that opposition and anger from whatever was in control and yet keep on preaching the truth. Even though everybody else said, we didn't want to hear it. If you don't shut up, we're going to do something about it. You know, you got to have boldness. They said, Lord, no, they don't want to hear this. I don't want to go back out there in that town. Everybody going to get mad at us. We're talking about Diana. Somebody say hallelujah. In many different cases, when they were in that situation, they said, give us boldness. So say, be bold. Say, be bold. Say, be bold. We all be scared. Be scared. Be bold about what you believe. If you believe in Jesus, who do you know? Break off that religious devil. Who do you know? That's what's going to save you. It's who you know. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And if you know Jesus, he's the one that's going to get you to heaven. When you go to heaven, it's his hand that you're going to hold, not what somebody told you or whether other people say, you must really be saved now because you're doing everything we want you to do. You're definitely saved. It's Jesus. Jesus didn't take that man that was on the cross beside him through a bunch of religious tripping crud. Say this prayer after me. And after you say this prayer, and I take you, let me get down off the cross and take you to the water and baptize you. I want you to say this prayer, and you know, and all this other stuff. And then I'm going to take you to the water, and then I'm going to baptize you. Then you get to go to heaven. No, the guy got in contact with Jesus, and then Jesus told the man, "Listen, this day you'll be with me in paradise." Just knowing him. Relationship with him does it. There are a lot of people, you can dunk them in the Baptist, you can dump them UPC, you can dump them AG, amen, you can dunk them, amen, until they start to get fins behind their ears, amen, or they get web toes. If they don't know Jesus, they still going to hell. I don't care what bumper sticker they got on the back of their car. I don't care. I don't care what's going on. They're going to go straight to hell. You got to know him, not about him. You got to know him. Amen. Not what the preacher said that you heard and said amen to on TBN. You got to know him. The Bible says that those that know the Lord their God will be strong and do exploits. Hallelujah. I thank God that I know him. I'm glad about that. I'm glad I know Jesus. And you know what? I'm glad that Jesus. That's why I thank God for Jesus. Oh, that we didn't have to go through a bunch of people to get him. Hallelujah. I'm glad I know Jesus. Can't go to heaven. Well, Reverend so-and-so said I was saved. And I was a part of the group. I was a part of that group. I was in that group. Didn't you go to that Carmen concert? I was in the stadium with Carmen making all that noise. They ain't going to cut it. You know, I was with Carmen. You know, I listened to all the other stuff. I did everything, all the other. I acted like all the other Christian people that I knew was acting. I acted just like those people. No, I knew Jesus. I knew Jesus. I knew Jesus. You Jesus, and that's what did it. Hallelujah. A form of godliness that denies the power thereof. Glory to God. What an assignment, huh? What an assignment. Hallelujah. Sometimes it makes you feel like, I know we're ready to get out of here, but imagine, I'm so glad that the other people saw Jesus talking to that woman. Because I'm sure they would have told her, he didn't talk to you. He wouldn't have talked to you. He wouldn't have talked to you. Amen. Which woman am I talking about? The woman at the well had all those husbands and all this other stuff going on. He talked to her directly. And she had a relationship. Glory to God. You can do some stuff with some people. I know I've got to shut up, but this is good. I want you to catch this. You do not have to go through anybody to get to him either. That's got to be blown out. We've got a lot of people that are acting as agents. You know what I'm saying? We can represent him, but I tell you what, we need to get out of the way and let them go to him directly for themselves. Amen. We don't have to get a pass, and we don't have to call the secretary. Amen. And there are a lot of people that got to have Mary. They got to pray to Mary. But we have to pray to Mary to get through to Jesus. You know, the Mother Mary, full of grace and all this other stuff. They have to pray to her to get to Jesus. Then we charismatics say, oh, we not like the Catholics. We don't have to pray to Mary. We can go to God for ourselves. They never go to God. They go to their religion, their tradition. their little theology. Amen. Glory to God. They go to Pat Robinson. They go to Pastor Rod. They go to Jimmy Swaggart, John Hagee. Come on. They go to the televangelist, to the TV screen. They go to the Charisma magazine. They go to all this other stuff. You can go to, I'm not saying throw all that stuff away. I'm not saying throw all that stuff away. But I tell you what, it's Jesus. All that other stuff is on the side. It's really Jesus. You can go to God for yourself. You can go to God for yourself. That's what he wants. He wants a personal relationship. You can get your own loan. Amen. You don't need a loan officer. Amen. You can go to God for yourself. If you got Jesus on the inside of your heart, that's the relationship that's going to make it, and you do. And it's not based on what little prayer you prayed, amen, and all this other stuff. It's, you know, it's your relationship with God. It's that nudging that makes you say, don't let anybody take that from you. That's just stupid. People know that God's talking to them and God's moving in them, and then somebody will tell them, you don't know. I'm like, come on, you know. That's the devil when people do that. You know Jesus. Amen. How many people tried to tell those disciples they didn't know God when they had him right there on the inside? He's here. You got to know for yourself. And the same question that he asked Peter, who do you say that I am? Think about your salvation. And think about the Spirit that abides on the inside. Who is he? And act like it. Sorry, that's what we believe. I don't have a second-rate religion. I know Jesus. You can't say that. I said it, and I believe it. Amen. And the book that they gave me to study, to practice, to read about it, everybody else had it the same way, too. Glory to God. Did y'all enjoy that tonight? Something to think about, isn't it? Something to think about, isn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. Nobody stood with me, but the Lord was with me. I can say amen to that. Hallelujah. What you got? Yes. You enjoy it? No, you're fine.